I read today's Bible passage. Today is from the Old Testament, from 1 Samuel, chapters 21 and chapter 22. The recitation will be chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. Now I'll read. David went to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he met him and asked, "Why are you alone? Why is no one with you?" David answered Ahimelech the priest, "The king sent me on a mission and said to me, 'No one is to know anything about the mission I am sending you on. As for my men, I have told them to meet me in a certain place.'" "Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread, or whatever you can find." But the priest answered David, "I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from wind." David replied, "Indeed, women have been kept from us, as usual whenever I set out. The men's bodies are holy, even on the missions that are not holy. How much more so today?" So the priest gave him the consecrated bread, since there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed from before the Lord and placed by the hot bread on the day it was taken away. Now, one of Saul's servants was there that day, detained before the Lord. He was Doeg the Edomite, Saul's chief shepherd. David asked Ahimelech, "Don't you have a spear or a sword here? I haven't brought my sword or any other weapon because the king's mission was urgent." The priest replied, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is here. It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want it, take it. There is no sword here but that one." David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are here to praise your precious name. This week, Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to come before you. We enjoy to be able to sing out songs of praise to you and to worship you as well. Lord, we know that you are always with us and that you are providing for all of our needs. We know, Lord, that in our daily lives, we are facing all kinds of different difficulties and troubles. But even at those times, Lord, we know that you protect us and that you guide us in an even better way. And we thank you so much for that. Lord, we ask that we'll be able to look even more directly towards you and we'll be able to gain a lot of wisdom and encouragement from you, through your grace. Please provide us guidance in that manner. We're about to hear a message from Pastor Joey Anjiki today. Please allow us, Lord, to sufficiently be able to understand the message this morning. Open our ears and our hearts. We have great expectations. With gratitude, pray in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello, everyone. It's wonderful to be able to worship with all of you again today. Tomorrow we're going to have a wedding, and so there's a lot of people visiting here for the first time today. I will introduce people to be married later on, and we thank you for also the Shibazawa family for coming back from New Zealand to visit. And there's somebody with bright clothing standing up in the front of the sanctuary. And you probably noticed that online if you're watching online. So now you know who that is. The wedding tomorrow is something we're really looking forward to, and it will definitely be a time of great blessing. Today we're going to be looking at a message from the passage that was read just a moment ago. First of all, I'd like to bring up this topic. Kids are really geniuses at playing. There's like nothing out there, and they just start thinking of something to play with or how to play. That's what kids do. So, for example, at school, when kids go home from school on their way home, they have to just like go home the same place in the same way every single day. But in order to not make that boring, they start thinking of fun things to do. And there's some of these things you may have even tried yourself. For example, like just jumping on one leg or skipping all the way home. Or finding a rock at school and kicking it all the way home. Or going walking only on the white line to get all the way home. Or playing Junkin and rock, scissors, paper. And then if you lose it, you have to carry everybody's backpack on the way home. For example, anybody who's kicked a rock home, it's actually 23% of you, according to a survey. I actually walked home only on a guard rail on the way home once. Anyway, so kids are really great at thinking of all these kind of rules and how to play to make things interesting. In the world, there are, of course, various rules that we have to follow. And in most cases, those things are given to us to protect our safety. However, sometimes those rules need to be broken. What I'm thinking of, for example, is like if there's somebody who's drowning in the ocean, and if you try to go help them and you see this sign that says no swimming, what are you going to do? Well, it's a rule, so you have to obey the rule, right? You're not going to think about that. You're going to break the rule to go help the person who's drowning. Or, for example, if you're going up to an intersection and there's a traffic accident right in front of you, and you go to help the person who needs help, but there's a red light. So what are you going to do? Are you going to, you're going to break the law and go through the red light to help the person who needs help, right? So in some cases, life needs to be a higher priority than a human rule, because the rule in and of itself is designed to protect our safety. In today's passage as well, we're looking at a circumstance of whether it's important to follow the rule or to show grace by actually breaking the rule. And that's Ahimelech, the priest, that we're specifically looking at today. Let's look a little bit first at the background of today's passage. Last time we were talking about David and Jonathan and their friendship. David was getting his life chased after by Saul, and Jonathan reached out his hand to help him. In this way, David started running off to keep himself safe. And in today's passage, we're looking actually at the theme of Ahimelech and the image of the church with three main points. The first point today is that people are desiring God. Let's look at that. Last time, we were looking at Jonathan and how he instructed David to run away, and he helped him to do so. If you were David, what would you have done? Would you have gone as far as possible from Saul? That probably would have been the usual thing to do. However, David actually chose to run just a very close distance to Nob, which is nearby. This was an area of where priests live. And when he went to Nob, he met Ahimelech. When he met David, how did Ahimelech respond? Well, looking at verse, it says, Ahimelech trembled when he met him and said, "Why are you here alone? Why is no one with you?" Ahimelech was scared and trembled. And the reason why is that David was a hero, and there is no way he would have gone anywhere just like on his own. And here, David actually lies. Verse 2, he says, "The king sent me on a mission and said to me, 'No one is to know anything about this mission I am sending you on.'" In other words, he was saying that he was on a special mission from the Lord, and this was a lie. From the king, sorry. And then verse 3 says, "Now then, what do you have on your hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread, or whatever you can find." We think about what's going on here in this situation. David left Jonathan and went not to a faraway place, but actually to a near place of Nob. And why did he would have done so? He should have ran farther, right? The reason why, though, is that Nob was the place where there were a lot of priests. In Nob, there was also a tabernacle. And so he could first seek God's will and seek rest by going there. That's likely why he went there. Just like David in the present day, there are many people who are wanting to have spiritual peace. They realize something, they're missing something in their heart. However, they search for looking how to fulfill that need at the wrong things. They look for spiritual things or cults or also occults and other inappropriate things. Even fortune telling. And some people try to fill that hole in their heart with love or relationships with people or even fame. However, those things are not things that can truly satisfy and fulfill our hearts. There's a person by the name of Charlie Chaplin, and he's very famous and well-known. There was once a time, though, when he was on a vacation and went to Monte Carlo in Monaco. And when he was there, they were having this contest going on about who's a look-alike contest for Charlie Chaplin. And so he was like, "Oh, this will be fun to participate in." And so he was like the real Charlie Chaplin. And so you would think, well, of course, everybody realized he was the first place, but he was actually third place in this competition. Even though the real person was right there, a lot of people were satisfied with somebody who was fake. And that is similar to the spiritual situation of many people today. Even though Jesus Christ is the only one who can truly satisfy our hearts, people are satisfied with these false idols and other false gods. David went to Nob to seek God. And in this way, we can realize that we too can be satisfied by God, knowing that He is the true satisfaction. The second point today is about showing mercy. David was asking for food, and Ahimelech responded in verse 4 by saying, "I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women." The priest Ahimelech explained, "There's no normal bread here, but there's consecrated bread if you would like that." And what is this consecrated bread? It is that which would have been specifically placed in that area representing the 12 tribes and would have been exchanged on the day of the Sabbath. The bread that was removed, there were two laws about that. First of all, only the priests were allowed to eat it. And it had to be eaten in that area of the tabernacle. It was on the Sabbath, and it was just the day when they would be removing and switching the bread. So Ahimelech had two choices of what to do with the bread. It was supposed to be used only for priests, so it couldn't have been given to David, so he could have denied David the right to eat it, or he could have let David eat it. And the result was that Ahimelech did give the bread to David. But he said that there was one condition that had to be satisfied, and it said that men had been kept from women. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus 12, it actually explains more about this rule. David had been out fighting, and he and his men had not been near women. And so in this way, Ahimelech did give David the bread to eat. Ahimelech gave the preference to show grace to David instead of abiding the rule. And he also gave the weapon that David had used to kill Goliath back to David as well. So was this the correct thing for Ahimelech to do? Yes, it is. Because actually, 1,500 years later, when Jesus was walking on the earth, Jesus actually referred to this in this situation in Matthew 12, verses 3 and 4. In Matthew 12, 1, it says, "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and he began to pick some of the heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath.' He answered, 'Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests.'" In those times, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and giving them this example of what Ahimelech had done, showing that his grace was more important than abiding by the law in such a circumstance. Ahimelech gave priority over love and grace rather than abiding by a rule. There are two points we can learn by this instance. First of all, we can remember that David was running away, but he was also going to be the king. Ahimelech would have not known that he was running away, but he did accept David and showed him grace. So what kind of place is the church? Ahimelech shows us that just as he did for David, that we as a church can accept anyone and give them whatever they need and give them the sword of the Spirit in a sense and give them God's word. And this doesn't matter what kind of background anyone has. When you think about this, I can remember that there was two people I specifically came in contact with when I was little. They've both gone to heaven now. One of them was one who wore this fur coat, and she let me pat her fur coat regularly, and I was bored during services, and she even let me praise me for writing on the back of the sermon notes, and she was just a great woman. There was a guy too that I liked, and he had huge hands, and he would do these magic tricks with his hands, and he let me climb up on his shoulders and so on. And I love both of these people. When I got older, there was an perspectives of these people that I came to know that I didn't know when I was little. I learned that the old woman was actually a spendthrift and in debt, and she had all kinds of problems in her life. She was an irresponsible spender. However, the older guy was a very good man and did a lot for the society. And when I think back about both of these people, I realize that really the church is a place that can just accept anyone regardless of what kind of life they're leading. And we can be accepting of any people, whatever their problems they have. And we can accept them as family of God and spend time with them. I realize that all people are sinners before God. And we all need his grace. And I realized that learning that here at the church was something that has shown me a lot of grace. And this is something I'm very glad happened to me. In the early church, there is a record in Acts 2:47 that says, "Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily to those who were being saved." Why is it that in the early church they had such a huge impact on the society, and why is it that many people came to church, and why were they choosing to believe in Jesus? One of the main reasons is that in those days, the church was very open to anyone in the society, even though it was a very discriminative society that people lived in. They accepted people in various circumstances. There is one person who said about the early church that Jews and Gentiles, men and women, free people and slaves, were all welcome there. This is the first place in history where that such groups of people were all welcome at the same time. Based on Ahimelech's action, we can see how he accepted David and gave him both food and a sword. We too can accept anyone at this church, regardless of their background, and give them the word of God to be able to stand strong in their circumstances. Let's look at the third and final point today: the high priest who became the substitute. At this time, you can think about what kind of circumstance David's faith was at. You can see he was probably down just a bit because Saul was after him, and spiritually he was probably at a low point. And there's many different situations. There are a few different places in the Bible we can see that. You can see that he was lying to try and protect himself. You can also see that after leaving Ahimelech, what David decided to do was that he decided to go to hide, actually. And he was just trying to hide from the enemy. However, it was found out that what he was doing, and when that was found out, how did David respond, and what did he do? He actually had pretended that he was insane and tried to get out. From these instances, you can see how he was once very strong in faith and even was able to take out Goliath, but at this particular time in his life, he was quite spiritually weak. The priest Ahimelech was lied to by David, and then this actually led to a difficult circumstance. When David received the bread and sword, there was one of the Saul's servants by the name of Doeg who saw what had happened. Verse 7, "Now one of Saul's servants that was there that day detained before the Lord, he was Doeg the Edomite, Saul's chief shepherd." And what does this mean here, to be detained before the Lord? Doeg could have actually killed David at that time, but the Lord prevented him. And he went to Saul, though, and told Saul what happened. And what did Saul do? He did something quite surprising. He actually killed priest Ahimelech and others as well. One of these, Abiathar, who was not killed, actually came to tell David what happened. And then David confessed something quite surprising. And that's in chapter 22, verse 22. "Then David said to Abiathar, 'That day when Doeg the Edomite was there, I knew he would be sure to tell Saul.'" In other words, David knew that Doeg was there, and he knew that he would go tell Saul, but he didn't stop him, and he didn't do anything. He realized that he was just only focused on himself, and that is how low he was at that point in his life. It's likely that David was thinking that, well, I was tricked, and Saul probably wouldn't do something so bad. He wouldn't do anything to the priest for sure. However, that lie actually brought about this tragedy of the killing of the priests. And this actually became a great scar in David's life. And there's actually a psalm that he wrote in light of that. However, after hearing about this, David remembered what Ahimelech had done for him and decided that, or remembered that he had been told that he was a strong warrior. And he remembered what Ahimelech had done for him, and this brought about change in David's faith. He said in chapter 22, verse 23, "Stay with me, don't be afraid. The man who is seeking your life is seeking mine also. You will be safe here with me." And this is a confession of David's faith and determination. By protection, he promised and realized that God's grace would be sufficient. And this shows how David's true faith, or going back to the faith that he had. In today's situation, we can see that the price Ahimelech provided help to David to save his life, but ended up losing his own. There is a great priest or high priest in the Bible, and this is written about in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 12. "But when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, it is not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption." This high priest is Jesus Christ. Today we've looked at the priest Ahimelech and how in that case it was more important to show grace and love than it was to abide by a rule. In the same way, Jesus has told us that showing grace is something that was more important than abiding by a law. We ourselves are sinners headed for a disaster, and we are to be punished. That's the rule. However, Jesus has gone beyond that to show grace and love and salvation to us by his work on the cross. Even though he was sinless, he took all of our sin upon himself and received all of the pain and suffering on the cross. This high priest for us has taken the punishment for us, which is something unimaginable. In today's passage, we can remember how David received grace from Ahimelech and recalled that later, and that allowed him to go back to a strong faith later on. In the same way, we can follow Jesus. Why is it that we follow Jesus? Why do we follow God? Well, if we don't, then we're not going to be saved, or that we're going to lose God's love. That's not it. I mean, the heretic cults teach that, but that's not true, because we know that the love Jesus expressed to us is so much that he gave his life for us, and he sees us as so important to him that he did so, and we as love people can be saved completely and can't lose our salvation even if we don't follow God 100%. In the same way, we can remember how David has turned back to his faith when he became weak, and we too can do the same. I would like to close with one more word from Ephesians 5:8. "You were once walking in darkness, but now you are walking in light. You are the light of the children, so walk in that way." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to worship you today. We've looked at the priest Ahimelech and also the image of the church. We've seen how David was needing assistance, and how even today, many people are also seeking assistance spiritually. They're trying to fulfill that empty part in their heart. But we know that the only one who can truly fulfill that need is you, Jesus Christ. We ask that as many people as possible can know Jesus, and that the church will be an opportunity for them to find you and to know you. We remember that the Elimelech protected David and gave him food and a sword. In the same way, we as the church can accept anyone and provide people with the true bread and the true word of God. As we come to church, we can be amazed at your amazing love, Lord. And we can remember how, even as David was running away, that you provided protection, and that and we too can be protected by you. As those who have received your love, Lord, allow us to share that with others. Lord, we ask blessing upon each and every person's walk with you going forward, and let us have joy as we walk with you in our daily lives. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. We have a few announcements and we'll close today. Please refer to the screen in front. UCLA's third term has begun. Pastor Anjiki and Pastor Osumi will be speaking. Please sign up in the office. It starts in October. We have some books of interest possibly to you, and a person from the bookstore may introduce about them. We'll move on for the moment. Well, this is information about a concert that's going to be at the G House. If you know anybody who lives in that area, please invite them to come on September 26th. Upper Room Holy Spirit event is going to be on a Sunday the 29th, starting at 1 o'clock. And looking at the calendar, this is the 2025 calendar the Church Photo Club has put together, and you can purchase one from a donation of 700 yen or more in the back of the sanctuary. Tomorrow is the wedding of Takara and Marina here at the church. Anyone coming to the church for the first time is welcome to park in a close parking lot, and anyone who's a church member or comes regularly to church, we encourage you to please park further away. You can also park at the local preschool, as we're using that parking lot as well. In October, it's known as Prayer Month, that's what we're going to celebrate. So every week we're going to have a specific theme, and we're going to have time during the services to pray for those themes. And Daily Mana also will have such a theme as well. And we have Eddie has designed this wonderful design for us. Information about the Joyful Christmas support provided by the Autumn Marché. On October 5th and 6th, we're going to have these workshops and sell food and variety of other items as well. Specifically on Saturday, there's going to be a handmade wreath workshop. If you would like to sign up, please sign up. It's just 1,000 yen. Only 10 people can participate, so please sign up as soon as possible. The sign-up sheet is in the entryway. This is information about an upcoming lecture. It will be on the topic of raising children. And we do need to know how many people will be coming, so please sign up if you would like to come. It is free. This is also a supportive bazaar to support a children's home in the local area. If you have any items that you wouldn't mind donating to be sold at the bazaar, you're welcome to bring them to the church. Information about the women's group's autumn tour. It will be on October 24th. It's almost full, I think. But if you do want to sign up, please go ahead as soon as possible. Information about a retreat on November 3rd and 4th. It's for adults here at the church, husbands and wives, and we're renting the Minorin Osato and up in Nikko, and there's a special guest coming to speak as well. We're going to have a new junior high and high school ministry, and it's going to be on the first and third Sundays after third service until 4 o'clock p.m. We already moved the piano last week. Okay, bookstore information now. Fukushima-san will come and talk. We'll go back to the screen that was just shown a moment ago about the bookstore. Hello, everyone. My name is Fukushima. I'm from the bookstore, and it's my privilege today to be able to share some books with you. And we will have a Christmas fair on October 19th, 20th, and 27th, as notated on the screen, Saturday, Sunday, and Sunday. And this Christmas fair will be an opportunity for us to sell various Christmas calendars or cards or other types of items. So please be looking forward to it. Today, I have brought a couple of different books to be able to tell you about. There's also books that are sold out already, but I would like to tell you about them anyway. This one is business Bible concepts. So there's probably many people here who are involved in business, and the Bible has a lot to say about business and different concepts of how do you run a business or a business in general. So if you would like to learn more about that, this book is a good reference for you. This is a book about written by Henry Nouwen, knowing about following Jesus. And if you have any, it tells different miracles that Jesus has done and other information about Jesus and his life. The next book has already been sold out, but let me tell you about it already. It's a book written by a female Christian in Japan. Oh, it's two people, sorry. And they're well known. And they're very good writing, good at writing. Even if you're not a woman, you may enjoy this book as well. And they're talking a lot about their experiences and how they have resolved different issues in their lives through God's wisdom. The last one, sorry, the book itself is already sold out, but it's My Bible Story is what it's called. It's pretty big and heavy, but it tells about God's great plan, and it's a translated book here. It's actually for children, but it's written very well, and it's written in a way that adults can really read it to children. And so you could like read it with your children or grandchildren and tell children really like what God's plan is and talk about it as a point of discussion as well with them. That concludes my book introduction for today. I hope you'll stop by on your way out. Thank you. Before we do birthdays today, we would like to introduce the people here, special guests for the wedding tomorrow. When I call your name, please stand up so we can welcome you. First of all, Marina's parents are here. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. And from the Shibusawa family, Sugi Misato's here. Welcome. And Nishida family is here. Welcome as well. You're welcome. And now we will celebrate people with birthdays this coming week. Anyone with a birthday, please stand up so we can celebrate with you. Yoshida-san, Nama-san is here. Nama-san and Morikun is here. Oh, and Yamada-san. Floor people, wow. We'll sing to Namba-san, Yoshida-san, Mori-san, and Yamamoto-san. Congratulations. May you be blessed. May everyone else be blessed as well. That concludes today's service. Please have a safe trip home. Also, we would like to have the chairs left where they are today. Do not pick the chairs up. And in the next room over, we have the massagist here today. That concludes the service today. That also concludes English translation. Thank you so much for listening.